الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Imagine for a moment that you come home one day only to find that your neighborhood has been taken over by a group of strangers. And not only have they taken it over, but they are actively working to eradicate you, your family, your properties, your culture, and your traditions. Or imagine that a company contacts you, making lots of promises as part of a business deal that seems to be very lucrative or even very fair for both parties. But they deceive you and they don't fulfill their end of the bargain, even though you have fulfilled yours. Or a group of people come to you and they forcibly take your children away and try to brainwash them against your culture and your traditional teachings. And when we think of each of these scenarios, I think we can all agree that they are wrong and they are all cases of oppression. These scenarios can actually be quite relatable to many of us in different ways. Many of us come from lands that were colonized by Western powers who came in, looted the treasures, and took over natural resources and made great efforts to change or wipe out culture and traditions to suit their agendas. And this continues to happen in some cases, even today. We see the colonization of Palestine and the continued attempts to wipe out its people and to take their land. We see the public school system here today, efforts by some to change the values and beliefs of our children as they relate to gender and sexuality. Again, I think we can agree that all of these are wrong. But here's the challenge. When it comes to this land, this country, Canada, which has offered most of us, if not all of us, prosperity through the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace and security, this land and country that we are in, we as residents, as citizens, are benefiting from the system that has done these very things that I have described earlier, and much worse, to the indigenous peoples of this land. They were a people who were living here on their land by themselves with their own languages and their own cultures, their own way of life, and they were living off the land. They were stewards of the land and they really valued and respected and continue to do so today, the land that they live on to ensure that it continues to ensure that it continues to be livable for them and their future generations. Then some explorers and newcomers came along, very nice, seeking friendship, seeking trade, and in some cases, seeking assistance and seeking help. But their true intentions were hidden. So the indigenous peoples, the population, welcomed them in good faith, as it didn't seem like that they had come to fight. It didn't seem like they had come with any negativity. But over time, the newcomers started expanding and establishing themselves in ways that the hosts actually never agreed to. Then the settlers made promises, even signed agreements that they did not adhere to, that they did not live up to. It's like someone who comes as a guest into your house and you welcome them, being a good host and being a good person, and then they overstay their welcome. And eventually they force you into the basement or even out of your home, and they take over your home, and they start running it their way. The indigenous populations never gave permission, never ceded their land, never signed up for this, right? But they have been driven out and oppressed and controlled. Their culture and way of life destroyed, children forcefully taken, abused, many cases even killed. Right, more than 150,000 children of theirs were taken away from their parents and enrolled in what they were called then Indian residential schools between the late 1800s and 1996, even until 1996, which is not that long ago, here in Canada. There were 140 residential schools. These schools are operated by the Canadian government and church organizations and were part of this country's official policy. So this was not like, you know, a group of people who were just like doing something on their own. But this was actually the official policy of this country that was aimed at eliminating Indigenous people's languages and cultures, and through genocide and assimilation, causing them to cease to exist as a distinct people. Students at these schools were subjected to physical, sexual abuse. They died of diseases because of poor sanitary conditions and lack of health care and health screening. And it's estimated that between 4,000 and 6,000 children died at these Indian residential schools. As you probably know, since 2021, the June of 2021, hundreds of unmarked graves have been discovered at or around the sites of these former residential schools as part of the investigation into these crimes, which were covered up for decades by government agencies and by churches across Canada and continue to, in some cases, today as well. Many Indigenous people and their communities have been left shattered with numerous challenges and struggles. Among the major root causes are injustices such as residential schools. And this shows us that when an injustice is done to a people, the consequences, the effects are long-lasting, sometimes even intergenerational, right? And this is something that is not foreign to us because we have seen this happen in our countries, our lands as well. So September 30th is tomorrow. In Canada, it is called the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, which is an opportunity to discuss these things, the effects of residential schools, their legacy that has destroyed the lives and spirits of thousands of Indigenous children and their families. So a lot of the issues and struggles that we find within their communities today can be traced back to this oppression and these injustices, right? They were not people who were always struggling with these things, right? They were living fine on their land, right? And it is these settlers, these colonizers, these foreigners who came in and did all these things and then really left them at the state which they often find themselves today. Now, my brothers and sisters, I know that none of us probably have had a direct role in doing such terrible things here. So spiritually, we are not sinful for the actual wrongs that were committed, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly in the Quran, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul shall be burdened with sins, or no soul is burdened with sin, or no soul rather that is burdened with sin will bear the burden of another. Right? So each person, each individual is responsible for their own burden, and others who are not have not played a role in it will not be carrying the burden of the sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَدْعُوا مُثْقَلَةٌ إِلَىٰ حِمْلِهَا لَا يُحْمَلْ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَىٰ. And if a sin-burdened soul cries for help with its burden, none of it will be carried even by a close relative. Right? So simply because someone, you know, is even close to someone else, by relation as an example, someone who is burdened by sin, they will not have to carry that person's burden. So each person is accountable and responsible for their own actions. That being said, we still have some important responsibilities, right? And the first one is really to acknowledge our situation and our privilege in this situation. Because many of us, or our parents, were immigrant settlers. And we need to recognize our privilege in being able to live in a free and prosperous and democratic society. However, the price of these blessings is an immense price, the cost which has been paid by these Indigenous peoples of this land, whose properties, whose land were stolen from them, whose, you know, treaties that they signed were broken, their culture was erased, children were uprooted from their families, and health and economic being was ignored by the colonial powers. When we acknowledge this and we recognize this, even though it may be uncomfortable, this is the beginning of addressing this and dismantling this privilege and understanding our place in the colonial structure. So while, you know, we and our ancestors were wronged and continue to be wronged by colonial powers, by colonialism, we actually end up also being those who benefit from colonialism as well, with others being the victims, unfortunately. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility as stewards, as khulafa, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in the Quran, that وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعْلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, told the angels as well, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Right, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this title, this responsibility to us as human beings to be stewards, which means that we have a few responsibilities. So to be stewards of this earth, to recognize that it does not belong to us, right? Even if there is a land or something that we own, it is actually temporarily being given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? At the end of the day, we are not going to take it with us to our graves. This belongs, this earth and everything in here that is inside of it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are stewards, we are responsible for its care for a short period of time. And as such, we are also caretakers of the environment and the ecosystem, right? This is all an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our generation, we, our time, the people of our time have it for some time. And then those who come after us will be responsible for us, just as we inherited it from our ancestors and the previous generations. As part of being stewards and khulafa, we are also tasked with being defenders of peace and justice as well, and to be advocates of the poor and the marginalized. So the point is that our presence here in this, on this earth, is not simply about self-interest and about self-preservation, right? Of course, preserving ourselves and our well-being is important, right? Because if you can't survive, then how are you going to take care of others, right? But it is not the only purpose or the only role that we have upon this earth. We do have a responsibility to be conscious about our surroundings, about the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the nature and the environment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, right? The blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with, right? And about the state of others around us. The indigenous peoples have been taking care of this land for centuries as a sacred duty. They were very, very careful about maintaining it and ensuring that it doesn't get spoiled and doesn't get destroyed. So we need to be working towards this as well, ideally with them as well. Thirdly, my brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility to follow the prophetic mission, which was to establish qist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we sent our messengers with clear signs, right? بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, with clear signs, and sent down with them the book, مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمِيزَانِ, and the balance. But the ultimate objective of all of this, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that people may uphold justice, may uphold qist, right? So this is a, and of course, justice not in, just in a few ways that, you know, we can imagine in terms of, you know, being fair and being just, but overall, when it comes to the entire universe, indeed, right, to establish justice, meaning balance the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended it to be. So this was a mission which was common to all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about plural, right? لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلٌ, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about not just one prophet, but the prophets of Allah azza wa jal. So it is also our religious responsibility to stand up for justice, to stand up for causes, you know, that are suffering from injustice, for truth and for reconciliation. This is part of our responsibility. We also have a responsibility to repel dhulm, darkness. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, اتقوا الظلم, right? Beware of dhulm, of oppression. فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. For dhulm will be, ظُلُمَات will be darkness on the day of resurrection. So of course, first and foremost for ourselves, to be conscious of committing oppression, being careful that we are not oppressing anyone in any way, or going against, you know, the responsibilities and the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us. So we respect the boundaries of Allah and for ourselves, and at the same time, we are looking out for oppression. And granted, there can be now many cases of oppression around the world, so we can't, you know, give our 100% to everything, but that at least we feel the oppression. We feel that the wrong has been committed, and we try whatever we are able to do to contribute towards betterment and towards removing the removal of that oppression. The other thing I also want to mention here is that, you know, when we learn, as discussed a few moments ago, that no soul shall be made to carry the burden of another, right? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us a very balanced and moderate path in all matters. You see, sometimes people hear these things, and because they're so upset, right, because they feel so strongly about the oppression that has been committed, they actually end up committing oppression or wronging others themselves by assigning responsibility to people who have actually not done anything wrong, right? I'll give you an example. So for example, when you think of colonialism, when we think of Western imperialism, you know, a lot of it has been done, you know, by people of a particular faith, by a people of, you know, of particular ethnicity, of a particular skin color, right? So then to then say or believe that, for example, you know, all white people are responsible even today for actions that their ancestors did, that is unjust, right? That is wrong. We cannot assign group responsibility simply based on these factors to someone who actually hasn't done anything, right? So if someone's grandparents, you know, someone's grandfather or whatever, ancestors were involved in committing wrong, right? It's not that person's fault today, right? It's not the grandchild's fault. So we cannot hold people accountable, right? And this, unfortunately, this is what we find today, is that there's, you know, two extremes. There's a lot of polarization in all types of issues, in all types of arenas around the world today, right? Even here in Canada. Right, so it's either this or that, two extremes. So either, yes, you are against oppression and against colonialism and all for indigenous people, and therefore you must, you know, speak out against and make, you know, like people who happen to be white, make them feel as if they are responsible for all of this. You know, like those who are alive today, who had no role in this. Right, or the other extreme is that, no, all of this is nonsense. And no, it's all about, protecting and like this legacy and defending it and acting like nothing wrong happened, right? And Islam always teaches us moderation and to be fair and to be just, even if it is against ourselves, even if it goes against our own interests, right? So maybe it is not in our interest to acknowledge a truth, but we have to, right? So we have to be very careful that we don't fall for this polarization. We always maintain the middle path. We don't unjustly hold people accountable for something that they haven't done, right? We don't make them feel like they are responsible for that, right? That's why I actually personally don't like using terms like white privilege, even though it's a concept and I understand what it means, and, you know, I had to use it in my article, but I prefer not to use these types of labels, right? Because they can be misunderstood, they can be misperceived, and they can make people feel like they are responsible for things that, you know, their people did in the past. But yes, they too should be standing up for what is right, so they shouldn't defend if any wrong that was done. But we have to be fair. That is the point. We have to be fair, and we have to be just, right? Even if it goes against ourselves or if it goes against our interests. So what can we do to show solidarity, especially when it comes to this issue? So first of all, learning, education is very important, right? To unlearn and reject, you know, all the stereotypes and misconceptions that are used, for example, to describe indigenous people, that when we think of indigenous people, what are we thinking and what comes to mind, right? Which is often portrayals which are negative, which are racist, right? We don't like people doing that about us, right? We don't like it when people think of, you know, all Muslims as terrorists or all Muslims as, you know, abusing abusing women or whatever the case may be, right? Beating their wives, whatever the stereotype may be, right? We don't like it. So we have to be careful also that we don't stereotype others as well, right? We can also recognize that there are many similarities between Muslim values, Islamic values, and indigenous values as well. There's a lot of traditional, you know, cultural values, including respect for elders and caring for the earth, and generosity amongst others. So that's the education part. When it comes to sharing, it's very, you know, it's something that we can also do. Share with others our responsibility to recognize the situation that we are in with regards to this issue, especially as newcomers, as immigrants, as settlers, and our role in enabling discrimination and unjust policies that are impacting Indigenous peoples even today. Thirdly and finally, my brothers and sisters, is to show support, right? To support their calls for justice, you know, in fair and equitable access to clean water. We talked about this previously, you know, how many Indigenous communities, First Nation communities, still don't have clean water in Canada, something that we take for granted. You know, housing and mental health services and schooling and childcare. There's so many areas where they still continue to suffer. So express support. You know, you think, okay, well, what is my voice going to do? But expressing support, even in small ways, whether it's at work or at school, in public, in the community, can make a difference, right? And it creates momentum, right? And if everyone starts doing it, then it becomes something which becomes noticed and starts gaining traction. And also, of course, pressuring the government to right the wrongs that have been committed. I want to mention one last thing, my brothers and sisters. You know, when it comes to our rights, we feel very strongly about standing up for our rights, whether it is our rights here in Canada, our religious rights, you know, our rights as parents, you know, the rights of our children, when it comes to international injustices, you know, many times in Muslim countries, you know, we feel very strongly about coming out to show support for that and speaking up, right? If we want to be taken seriously on those issues, we also have to show up for issues that don't affect us directly. Right. This is, you can say, an unwritten sort of social contract or expectation. You know, if we show up for others and stand up against injustice and oppression that happens to others, you know, that signals that we care and we are fair, right, as we should be. And as a result, it makes it easier for our concerns to be heard as well. If we act like it's a one-way street, where we want everyone else to care about us, but we don't care about anyone else, we don't show up, we don't do anything, we don't say anything, then naturally people start thinking, well, why should we? Why should we offer support? Why should we speak up when these people just care about themselves? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the pain of those who have been wronged. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them peace and justice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from committing any type of injustice. Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from all forms of treachery, falsehood, oppression, and pain. Ameen. Akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Take a quick